Ghislaine Maxwell, the British socialite accused of collaborating with financier Jeffrey Epstein, has been found guilty on 5 counts. They include conspiracy to entice a minor into interstate travel to engage in illegal sexual activity and sex trafficking of a minor. NPR's Jasmine Garzd is covering the case, and she joins us from outside the Manhattan courthouse where the verdict was just read. Hi, Jasmine.
Hello.
Set the scene for us. What was the mood in the courthouse today?
Well, there was a mood of exhaustion and anticipation. It's been several days worth of deliberation. Also, there was the looming threat of the Omicron variant. As you know, there's been a historic peak of infections here in New York. And on several occasions, the judge, Allison Nathan, expressed concern that someone in the jury could get sick. Earlier today, she ordered the jury to work through the weekend in order to avoid that scenario. Of course, it didn't come to that.
And so as the verdict was read, how did Maxwell react?
She seemed pretty calm, collected. She drank a lot of water. And her lawyers simply requested to the judge that she get a booster shot.
Now, you covered these arguments, and in the end, the prosecution won. Can you tell us more about what they argued?
Well, the prosecution put 4 very emotional abuse survivors on the stand who spoke about a pattern of exploitation, which they say involved Maxwell befriending them, playing cool older sister, and normalizing sexual abuse, even participating in it. The prosecution also made the case that Maxwell and Epstein operated as a team. In the words of Assistant U.S. Attorney Lara Pomerantz, Epstein and Maxwell ran, quote, a pyramid scheme of abuse. She described them as partners in crime and said that they had a playbook. The prosecution showed that Maxwell was indeed the lady of the house, and that even after they split up their romantic relationship, she remained very much enmeshed in Epstein's professional and personal life, that she arranged those abusive massage sessions. Now, one important point to note is that as they received deliberations, the jury got instructions to also consider whether or not Maxwell consciously ignored the abuse. In other words, did she know what was going on and just turn a blind eye to something that was happening right under her nose?
So those were the successful arguments from the prosecution that persuaded the jury to convict. What did the defense argue?
The defense made an argument that centered largely around memory. In cross-examination, they questioned every accuser on how clear their memories could possibly be 20 years after the alleged abuse. They brought in an expert witness who spoke about how memory can really fade over the years. It can also be tampered with. And speaking of 20 years later, the defense questioned the motivations of the accusers to come forward against Maxwell after so much time, and they implied over and over again that this was about money. And finally, they worked hard to portray Maxwell as someone who was taking the fall for Jeffrey Epstein. After he died in 2019, Epstein's accusers were left without a sense of closure, and the prosecution spoke about how Maxwell was being tried in his place. They argued that, sure, Maxwell and Epstein were a couple at some point in the 90s, but when they split up, they went their separate ways, and what he did in his private life was none of her business.
In just a sentence or two, what's next for her?
Well, it's to be determined, but trafficking of a minor, that itself carries up to 40 years in prison.
NPR's Jasmine Garzd, thank you for your coverage.
Thank you.